Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just for a reminder how to join us, we have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for quality 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PAULFRANZ. And of course, my second account called Franz Games, where I announce this podcast, news, updates, you know, things like old new tournaments, will be announced there. Of course, a lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net, like the Google Play Store. Some quick news from ADB this week. We have on Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru RPG and War Game Vault. They replaced Jagger Panther number 3 because there were missing pages. And they actually were found, so they re-uploaded them. So people who bought that, I'm assuming, would get an update for that magazine. Steve Cole also was busy working on Caps Log number 53. Of course, the various, you know, he worked on the blogs. Also doing art for the Zinti Master Starship book and stuff when it comes to Shapeways. And also some Belly Bird art graphics. For those who don't know, that's the graphics that are on the bottom of the Romulan, like the War Eagle ships and those kind of ships. Really cool. Steve Petrick was busy working on, of course, Zinti and Gorn Master Starship books. Gene was busy working, you know, managing the Facebook page, uploading new ships to Shapeways, and, of course, keeping the spam assault down on the BBS. Moving on to the SAB Online Tournament, we're going to have a Masters 2018 tournament. There's going to be a sign-up page set up this weekend. Crazy. Andrew Snell, can you just set up a web page, you know, add a topic, and then we can see if there's enough people and we'll run it. And then people say, well, where's the sign up link? It's like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. So I'll be sending out an email blast and, of course, adding the link to the actual discussion board. I did announce it on the Facebook page. I went to the group, the Starfleet Battles Online group, and I made an announcement there, so, you know, just so that people know that it's around. Also, when it comes to Raft 47, unfortunately, the one run by Bill Scheller, Clayton has not played Paul Graves, but hopefully they'll be able to get to play this weekend, as I mentioned to Paul, after we played an hour of our game on Tuesday, I feel like the Rat 47 finals is precedent over our Platinum Hat tournament game. Actually, we got 1 hour in, which gave us one turn, and definitely it should be an interesting game. Because I think I've at the very least cut them off guard, which is always a good thing when it comes to Starfleet battles. So, you know, we ended turn one with me 2 hexes away from his enveloping S torpedo, and around 9 hexes away from his ship. So, that should make things quite interesting for the next turn. Moving on forward, when it comes to the library report, we actually do have some progress. I actually was able to go and trim some of the old cruft. you know, some of the ships that were added to the library, which probably should never have been added. But I know Aaron Staley was trying to be a completist and have everything that was ever published, even playtest stuff. He wanted to add that to the library, and that's one of the things that we've been slowly removing, which is the playtest materials should not be in the library. Only finished product should be in the library. So that stuff is disappearing. Also, I got a couple conversions from Jason. Seems like he sent them before. He said, you know, that he said he sent them before, which is good possibly he did, and I forgot to update them to the library. So I actually was able to do that today. So we got some more things done there. So what that means is we have 2,390 complete conversions with only 939 yet to be completed. That gives us a percentage complete of 71.79%. And basically, it's kind of like 72%. I would think that if we actually get one more, just one more converted, then we will be up to 72%. So, but the good thing is that we do have progress. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight it is moi. And of course, we have a wonderful chat room, which is getting quite busy, which is always good to see. Just a quick thing before I start everything going, because tonight's topic actually is Starfleet Battle Force and alternate rules, because there's some. Well, I want to discuss alternate rules, also go through some of the optional rules that are in there, and actually how we can change those, or, you know, some ideas about how to alternate rules that can be added to Starfleet Battle Force that we could actually play with and use, you know, because it's Starfleet Battle Force, you know, there are certain aspects to it that I'm sure everyone would like to see, you know, that's, you know, to experiment with, because, you know, the way it plays and all. But before I get to that, I'm almost starting off before I wanted to start it, and that is I did something today, which, because I didn't actually record this date, just because of you start things going and you don't really think about it all that much, you know, it's like. For at least for guys, you know, when you start dating your girlfriend, you don't remember that day. She might, and might really be hurt if you don't remember it. But fortunately, I don't have one of those people in my life. My wife is very happy that I remember our anniversary, which is the important one for us. Not the first day we met or anything like that. But, you know, so I went back and said, okay, that's for giggles. That, you know, I got logged in early. So I was like, oh, what the heck? Went and talked, she was like, okay, when is the very first podcast recorded? And I'm going page. And I'm going back. Yeah, to a certain degree, that might be the case. But you know what day it was? I'm sure if you're actually interested, you could have done the same thing. But I found out, and my first ever recording that I ever did that's up there on TalkShoe was April 10th, 2008. Yeah, it was one of those things that I found out and went, wow, I'm almost been doing this for 10 years. You know, it's not something that I ever imagined when I started this podcast. I never expected. You know, it's not like you expect it, you know, oh, this will last only a couple of years and I'll move on to something else or whatever, you know. I never did. I just keep on doing, you know, day, you know, every single week. I'm here. Well, most part, there are certain days, obviously, that I'm not here. Like, oh, Thanksgiving. I wish to live on that because my wife probably would kill me if I actually was doing the podcast instead of spending time with the family. You know, I mentioned that before. So anyone who's actually been part of this podcast for any length of time would know that, you know, there are certain times when I actually need to actually take some time off away from this. Of course, obviously, when every once in a while, when the podcast falls on a Thursday, falls on like Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, those are definitely no-goes. Thank you very much. Or New Year's Eve. That's another one that. No. That's a family time. Yes. BST, we have the one, the only, the Barry Kirk. How you doing, Barry?
Well, somebody's trying to make me not the only. My Facebook account, someone's trying to clone it. And so if you see any friend requests or on Messenger or Facebook from me, don't accept them.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think I'm actually... I think I might be your friend on Facebook. I forget.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you are.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I am.
Another one.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am because I remember I saw your pictures from your vacation.
Yes. But somebody has taken my profile picture and cloned my account, and they're trying to make friends with all my contacts. I don't know who it is.
And I don't know why they do that. Okay, you know, it's not like I'm. They start saying, "Oh, you know, I'm stuck in wherever, you know, I'm stuck in Mexico without my wallet and so forth. Can you send me some money?" It's like, no, because I'll give you a call. Go, yeah. Hey Barry, are you in Mexico? No, I'm in California.
Yeah, actually, I'm in Virginia.
Yeah, I understand. You're invariably, you know, you're all over the country, so big surprise.
Oh, tell me about it. This morning I had a job call, a service call in Watsontown. I don't know if you're familiar with where that is.
No, I'm not.
11 and 15, you go north on that until you go north of I-80.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up there.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is up there. That's northern Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I get there, I'm just about there. Another customer calls. We need you down in southwestern Virginia, Lynchburg.
Oh, I know where Lynchburg is. Been there.
So after I was done in Watsontown, I turned around and drove home, packed the bag. And then drove down to Lynchburg, which is where I'm at now.
Oy.
Driving all day.
Yeah, Lynchburg, Virginia. That's actually Liberty University is there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, my wife graduated from Liberty University. At least that's where she got her PhD and her master's.
Okay. Oh, wow. My daughter almost went there. She ended up going to Trinity College.
Oh, okay, cool. That's cool. Oh, one thing that you just missed me announcing, because I just looked it up and I figured you might be interested, which is that I have been, as of April 10th of this year, I will have been doing this podcast for 10 years.
Wow.
I know. It's incredible. And actually, you should know this. To a certain degree, because I actually looked at one of the few reviews I have for this podcast, and one of them's from you, which you did on November 8th of 2008. So,
well, I've been with it almost since the beginning.
Yes, you have. Now, of course, you've been in and out because of sometimes you've been. There have been times when you've been like here every single week, you know, to a point where you were kind of almost co-host, and then you disappeared for a while. And how was it? Sean. Dude, Sean. He was there. Yeah. BMRL. Yes, I am seeing to do a special, maybe not special podcast that day. Whatever is going to be the podcast that's closest. I'm not sure whether it is before or after that day. You know, that's what I'm going to kind of celebrate the 10th. Okay, April 12th. Yeah, then I'll probably do it on April 12th. I have no reason to do it on Tuesday night, which then I'm assuming that what the April 10th would be. As I mentioned, actually before, I'm not sure if before the podcast or as of the podcast, that, you know, I like to do something special. I'm hoping to invite like people like Gene or and Steve Cole, possibly Steve Patrick, you know, MG can obviously be on, possibly some of the sculptors from Shapeways. I'm not sure, you know, actually there's one I would like to invite, but I don't think that he would make it. And I'm not sure if he'd be appropriate these days. He's the one who created ACTA, you know, ACTA SF originally. I forget the guy's name. Strange.
I tried to call to arms, and you know.
It's called arms. No, actually, I would love to have Tony, who is the current keeper of Call to Arms. But before Call to Arms was, I think they also created a version of Traveler. This is awful because I did interview him one time. I did a special interview on a Saturday. I recorded it. Did a talk cast on it. I called him up. Actually called his phone number was what I did. So that, you know, he didn't have to incur any costs, and it actually worked out quite well. So, anyhow, you know, so we'll figure out something special for the podcast on that day. You know, on April 12th, where we'll celebrate the 10-year anniversary of this lovely, lovely talk cast. Yikes. I know, just thinking about that, I've been doing it for 10 years. That would be interesting. Do a live game on SFB Online while I'm doing the talk cast. That would be interesting. Or possibility of someone playing, you know, get some people to play online and maybe do like a broadcast, an e-cast of it, you know, how they do these esports broadcasts, you know, that kind of thing. But
I don't do sports, as you know. Oh,
yeah, I know. Esports are interesting. That's actually a different, wow, totally different way of doing things. Because I've never watched any esports. I would actually like to look at one of the videos, because I know they've actually done some recordings of esports. You know what esports are, right? Right, Barry?
No.
Oh, okay. Basically,
I don't do sports.
No, this is esports. What esports is, like, they record and actually broadcast, like, World of Warcraft. You know, two teams playing World of Warcraft, and they have an actual commentator who actually comments on the actual game itself.
Oh, okay.
And there actually are actual teams that get paid money for playing these games. You know, these live action games.
Oh. We're in the wrong business.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm not that good at real time strategy games.
That is true. My type of strategy games are games like Civ or Endless Space. Or
Right.
Turn-based strategy.
Right. Oh Lord, are you kidding me, BM Earl? PM Earl is saying that esports is up for the Olympics in Beijing and Tokyo. They're trying to get the esports added to the Olympics. At least I'm assuming it would be starting as an exhibition. Is what it would start out as. Because I think that's where usually new sports that are added to the Olympics start out as. They do it like as an exhibition. Oh, they did a test run in Pyongyang. I probably pronounced that incorrectly. The Olympics that just finished up in Korea, which of course makes sense because Korea has a really big esports community, huge. And of course, they have really good internet.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Well, our internet may be getting better if Elon Musk has his way. One of the things he's planning on doing is launching a whole bunch of satellites to basically improve the quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the problem with satellites won't give you the best speed compared to a hard line.
Well, the current satellites won't, but these are totally different bulging.
Understood. Understood. But anyhow, the topic that I had chosen for this evening is Starfleet Battle Force. And more importantly, some of the alternate rules. Okay.
Sadly, I have to get up like ungodly hour in the morning.
Okay.
I have to get off. I'm sorry.
Understood. That's fine. Well, Barry, it's nice to have you stop in for a bit. You go get some sleep.
I will. Thanks.
Okay. Bye. See you. Bye. BM Earl, I did not realize that the host countries can add popular local sports without the normal vetting process. Wow. Okay. Well, that should be interesting to see, you know, if that actually becomes, wow, that's how curling got in? Wow. And I assume initially because of, actually, I've watched curling and I think it's actually kind of cool myself. Of course, I grew up in Maryland where the local bar down the end of the block where up here they call them family restaurants. Down there they call it a bar. We call it the bar. Now, given that we were kids, we were still allowed in. So it wasn't like a bar where they card you and say, okay, you can't have, you know, you can't be in here unless you're 21. No, it says more family restaurant kind of thing where you couldn't order drinks unless you were 21, but you could be in the establishment. But they would have shuffleboards, you know, which is kind of cool. And so curling actually reminds me that a tremendous amount of curling is just the puck is bigger. You actually, and you control it to a certain degree using the brooms, you know, because that's the whole idea of the sweeping of curling is to try to modify its trajectory just a little bit, you know, because that's a massive stone, you know. But anyhow, let's get back to the topic for this evening, which was Starfleet Battle Force, mainly the alternate rules. I figure the best place to start, actually, is the current ones. Let's go through some of these just to give people a good warm-up, you know, an idea of what's currently there, and then we can move forward on other ideas that spring from some of these. You know, obviously, some of these are kind of simple. Now, are these playable? I'm not sure, because even some of our ideas, I'm not sure if they'll be playable. Now, like, for example, one of the optional rules that you can play with in Starfleet Battle Force is what's called the single race play, which basically means that you play a single race or a single empire. Gene likes to call them empires. And back in the day, you called them, you know, like the Klingons were a race. They weren't an empire. Well, Klingons are a race and an empire, but there's races that are a part of the Klingon Empire that are not Klingons. That's why Gene is really stickler about that. But that's what I'm just reading what the book says. So Gene, don't send any frying pans my way. Okay? Just note that. Basically, you select, okay, players each select a different race and use the same number of ships of that race of the Battle Force. Now, obviously, anyone who's actually played Starfleet Battle Force knows that this overall is a bad idea. That's why, actually, I'm going to go sidetrack just for a moment, which is I was rereading the designer notes this evening. And one of the things that Steve Call mentions in the designer notes is, and I quote, "Most card games these days are collectible and expandable. Players are forced to buy expensive random selection booster packs in order to compete." Yeah, like this came out the same time that Magic: The Gathering came into existence. Now, this trend seems on the way out. However, and wholesalers and retailers who carry such products warned us that they wanted any Starfleet card game to be a standalone with no boosters needed. And they said that we do plan to publish one or two more games with an identical system but different cards. The games can be combined into one very large game if the players desire. Now, as I'm just side noted on that passage, because just to mention that when it comes to single race playing, does not work. Why does it not work? Well, you have the biggest issue, unless you're playing like Orions, which actually they mentioned that you can use like Tholians and Orions together as a single race, because basically there's not enough cards of that, of individual empires. So, given that, if you have like only Gorns, or only Romulans, or only Klingons, or only Federation, it does not work. And here's why. And that is the whole issue of decks. These decks are built up of different cards, different weapons. And unfortunately, Steve Cole, now, and whoever else helped design this product did not think about one key thing in my mind, which is that there are cards that are for individual weapons. Now, the problem is that if you add more weapons, you dilute the ability to fire those weapons. So it's less likely you're actually going to be able to fire your weapons, unless you have a very diverse group of ships. Groups of ships that go from different empires. That's why using a single empire and playing only ships from that empire will not work out very well. It might work out good enough for the Gorns, possibly the Romans. Orions, yeah, all that. I think they will work out fine because they have those option mounts where they can basically fire any weapon. At least a lot of these weapons are kind of any weapons kind of thing. But the other ones just won't work out because of that dilution. Because you're gonna sit there, you're gonna be gathering these cards, and you're gonna have to chuck them. And okay, I can't use this, can't use this, can't use this, can't use this. So you're gonna have turns where you're gonna be able to do absolutely nothing, unless you have like carriers, you know, or you happen to pick up an action card. But if you happen to pick up like your Federation, or let's say Klingons, make it easier. Klingons, and all you picked up were phasers and a lot of plasma torpedoes. Guess what? You might be able to fire a few phasers, but you're not going to be doing nearly as much damage. Possibly not even enough damage because of the amount of damage that's required to kill it. Now, you know, the one thing that was mentioned is tactics, is that you want to, well, it mentions actually as a tactic, which is mass. Okay, it's tactic number 3, mass your attacks. Some ships have 4 or 5 more weapons, and it can fire 4 or 5 weapons in a single volley. That's because you actually, it can have enough phasers and disruptors and all that kind of thing can actually be available, so you actually can fire it. And he said, oh, well, save those up if possible. So you can basically do a mass attack, which is obviously one of the issues currently with the way the system works. But that's just the way Starfleet Battle Force is played. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. It's just that the designer's note on this, on the game, which mentions that the whole thing is basically what's the game? Give me a sec here. He said, Modern Naval Battles. That's it. Modern Naval Battles. This is basically taking that piece and putting Starfleet Battles background material on top of it, but there's some additional rules that are required, you know, that were added, that kind of fixes some of the issues that if you don't have it, you have issues with it. And some of them basically mentioned that we're getting a 6 fire card, which came from one of these other designs, because there were many designs, as a homage to everyone who had ever had the courage to attempt to design a Starfleet Universe combat card game. Excuse me. Yeah, so, you know, it's very, very interesting. There's another alternate rules, which is player order. There are 6 cards marked player order in the game. The whole idea, in this case, in this alternate rule, which I'm not sure why you'd have this in here. Actually, I think there is. What it's saying is that at the beginning of each turn, you know, each round, you go and you shuffle these player order cards, then you deal them out. So that it's not always, you know, just go in a certain set order. You know, whether that is round and round and round you go, or, you know, deal out the player order cards at the beginning of the game, which I think is part of the advanced rules that you do. If I recall correctly, don't mind me. I'm just checking this out just real quick, because that would be probably advanced game. Right. No, I don't see it mentioned. Okay, so but those are probably, looks like the cards looks like they're just for alternate rules. At least that's what, I did a quick glance. It's possible if other people have more time, they can actually look at it and say, oh, no, it's right here. You know, and if it is, forgive me for not getting it right the first time. Another one is what's called partners. Is players are organized into teams, usually two teams each of two players. And the players can discard. When discarding in step five, puts his discarded card into the partner's reserve cards. The game ends if one partnership. The game ends if one partnership is the end, is only left with ships. Partners cannot attack each other and cannot provide defense or reactive cards with their partners when their partners are attacked. Obviously, as a, you know, those limitations, well, that just kind of screams. An alternative rule. But we'll get to that after I go through the ones that are currently there. Obviously, some of there's what's called ship selection optional rules. One is you can turn the ship cards face up and spread them out. And basically, the whole idea of this is that you have all these cards spread out on top of a table. And then people, basically, it's like back in elementary school, when you had to pick a team. Oh, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you. And you go back and forth and you pick ships. And then you form up sides based on the ships that you select. You know, which is kind of, I like the idea. It's kind of a cool idea because of, you know, it has kind of elementary school, you know, picking teams kind of thing. Another one that's mentioned in here is core fleets. Find all the dreadnoughts. Each player selects one of them. Then all of the carriers allow each player to select one of them. Then deal the rest of the cards. So that means each player will have a dreadnought. Each player will have a carrier, i.e. it will have, in my mind, a very balanced fleet. Because the one thing is that obviously the dreadnoughts are the hardest things to kill. One of the hardest things to kill in the game. So you'll have at least one ship in your fleet until the closer to the end. And then, of course, the wonderful thing about carriers is that even if you don't get a weapons card, you can still attack. And that is one of those things that is kind of important because as Steve, the designer, i.e. Steve Cole, put in the designer's notes, that is that if you, they actually had expanded this, had created separate decks, like I say, they do that for the Hydran, Lyran, ISC, maybe even Andromedans, have them as another deck set. And he said, oh, well, we were planning on doing that. And then what you can do is actually combine the two decks into a second deck. And the problem is, of course, if you have the same system, which is cards that explicitly mention what weapon they're for firing, you're going to have the issue, as I mentioned, the whole idea of watering it down. Having the decks so large that you don't get the weapons cards that you need that often. So, in which case, having a carrier would be kind of critical. To actually be able to have a carrier, have a weapon that you always could fire during your turn. Now, obviously, that what does that mean? That means those are prime targets for you to die. You know, everyone's going to be firing, want to target those carriers because of there are the biggest issue. Because without the carriers, then you can actually find yourself not be able to fire. You know, or having all these weapons cards that you can't get rid of, at least very quickly. So it's kind of crazy. And then the third optional rule that you could possibly use when it comes to ship selection was says use ship selection process number one, as I mentioned, just lay them all out. But for the first tour of ships, first four ships for each player, then shuffle and deal the rest. So basically, the whole idea is that you do the pick ships thing for a limited number of ships. And then the rest, you would shuffle the ship deck and just deal it out. And basically, and then do that way. Which is, basically, it is an alternate rule to an alternate rule kind of thing. It's a variation on that same thing. Another one that they have here, actually they have the obvious one, which is diplomacy, which is, I'm sorry, that's an optional rule, but it's an optional rule, but to me it's not an alternate rule. It's an optional rule because of you don't have to play with diplomacy. It's like, though, I was gonna say that it's kind of like Starfleet Warlord, where Starfleet Warlord you can play without doing diplomacy. Would I recommend it? Never, because invariably you will die if you try to go it alone and just win for yourself. You will die. Now, Starfleet Battle Force, I don't think it's, let me take that back. I was going to say, with Starfleet Battle Force, I don't think that is the case, that you actually could go alone and still win. I think you can, but here's the thing. If you have a large number of players, I'm talking about between 4 and 6, probably 5 and 6. No. When you get to a large number of players, diplomacy can actually play a very important role. The reason being is that let's say you have 6 players playing Starfleet Battle Force. The big thing with Starfleet Battle Force with 6 players is that by the time your turn comes around, you will probably have absolutely no defensive card whatsoever. It's not like you're playing two or three. You could possibly survive, and by the time you come around, you can still have some more defensive cards. Will you have them? Probably not. But you have all these people where you can't defend against. They're going to attack you and possibly kill your ships, in which case you will dwindle to absolutely nothing in very quick order. And in those larger numbers of players, you want to create these kind of diplomatic deals, so that, I want to survive, so guess what? I won't attack you this turn, and for that, you won't attack me. Kind of thing. Now, obviously, this is kind of like Starfleet Warlord in that if you are ahead by a tremendous amount, you've been killing ships left and right from everyone on it, and you try to make a deal, will people make the deal? Yes. Will they hold to that deal? Probably not. So, So in that case, that's why diplomacy, in my mind, it says it's an optional rule, but when you get to a larger number of players, it doesn't become much of an optional rule in my mind. Yes, can you play without it? Yes, in theory, you could. But will you win? Probably not. Because if everyone else is playing with diplomacy, I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. Let's put cards on the table. Let's be honest. People will make those backroom deals to win the game. Whether that means just kind of hint, hint, because Lord knows. I've played Pinochle. Pinochle for four-handed, you got teams. You got two teams. You don't really make deals. But five or six-hand double deck games where the whole idea, if you ever played Pinochle and played with five or six-handed Pinochle, which is with double deck, it is really interesting. And here's why. And that is that for like when you're playing with five or six people in a double deck format, what you normally do, at least the way the game we always played, the way the variant we always played with Pinochle, was that you get your deck, you get your hand. Okay, all I need is this one card, and I get lots of points to bid with, lots of points to succeed with. So the way you, what happens is that you say, oh, you know, you bid on the promise that you'll actually get your card, because you will. Because what happens is that you can ask for one card, and that one card defines who your partner is. So that could be bad for you. It could be good for you. It could be either one. You know, so at the very least, that playing that variant is really interesting. It's one of the funnest, because of in that case, what happens is that it's one of those few times I've ever seen someone who has a partner who basically kills the partner because of. If it's that brutal, then what will happen is that the partner will take a dive and go, whoops, I dropped this card, whoop, wrong card, you know, nothing illegal when it comes to the rules of the game. But have it so that he is not playing optimally. Why? Because of the other person's going to win. If that group goes out, he doesn't win. Only the person who has enough points will win. So that's one of the things with diplomacy. You know, when you have a large number of players. Of course. The one thing that they mentioned, of course, is end-game conditions. You can modify the end-game conditions to be toned back. For example, you know, you can set a time. You know, okay, I got to head out the door by like 9:30. So by 9 o'clock, you know, let's call it. You know, whoever has the most points at 9 o'clock, they win. Or you know, a set number of times to the action card deck is reshuffled, you know, such as three or four, you know, have it so that you only can go through it so many times. Okay, that's it. Heck, if you want, you can have a single times. Like, okay, this you're going to go through it once. Whoever wins after the deck is gone or all the action cards are used up and you can't do anything else, then, okay, game is over. You have, you know, you don't have any way to replenish it if we run out of action cards in the deck. Okay, another optional end game condition is when any player has destroyed a set number of ships, you know, like 5 or 10, or when the first player is eliminated from the game by having his last ship destroyed. That's another way of ending the game. Say, okay, at that point, let's go add up our points after the first person is killed. And of course, and then the number five is, guess what? Any mutually agreeable condition, i.e. make up your own. Now, I think that's actually quite interesting what comes part of Starfleet Battle Force. Now, as I mentioned before, I think that one of the biggest issues that Starfleet Battle Force currently has, as a game right now, it works perfectly. But in my mind, it really wasn't designed for expansion. As I think in the designer notes that Steve Cole mentioned, I don't think they really thought about it that much. About the, you know, other than, oh yeah, let's create another card, you know, another set of empires to a separate deck, you know, separate deck of cards. I think that's what they really thought they could do. Which actually would work. It had the same balance. You know, I'm assuming the action cards could be, you could just duplicate them, because the action cards, for most part, other than the weapons, would be the same, or could be the same. As long as you have the same number of ship cards available for the other decks. That's not the key issue here. Actually, it's kind of a key issue. Because if you don't have the same number of ship cards, then you're not going to be able to play nearly as many players at that time. And you can't just... But in the designer notes, it's saying that, oh yeah, but you can be able to combine them. But as I mentioned, that won't work because it just dilutes when you're actually able to fire weapons for that ship. Though, obviously, the one thing that would be added would be phasers. So, given that, you know, phasers are generic and used by every single empire, that part is pretty generic and could be used. Now, obviously, for the most part, you can't kill ships using phasers alone. Can you do it? Yeah, you can do it. That usually means that you have a good number of phasers, i.e. cruiser or larger, firing on something like a frigate, you know, and trying to kill it. Now, obviously, your opponent most probably will have some kind of defense, whether that is ECM cards or shield cards or whatever, to dilute your attack. So, you know, in that case, if you can dilute it enough, you know, then phasers won't do it. Hey, Russ. Thanks for joining. Yes. Thank you, BST. BST mentioned that you could actually build decks for each player at the start. So each player gets their own draw deck, i.e. What BST actually is referring to, that is that I'm sure, I haven't played it myself, but I know that this is the way it works. And that is Magic the Gathering. In Magic the Gathering, what you do is actually you buy decks of cards. And then you basically, you then can build, you can basically, it's considered like deck builder. You build your deck for your fight. Right. BST is mentioning it's non-collectible, but more like Dominion. So Dominion. Dominion's a little different than this. I think Magic the Gathering is a closer approximation to what I think you're thinking of, where you basically each person has their own deck, and then. And let's say for Star for the Battle Force, what you do is that you have to have a certain number of cards to start with, period. Nothing less, nothing more. I don't know what that number would be. Basically, the idea is these are the decks that are possible. These are all the cards that are possible. Now you can select whatever cards you want from the whole collection of cards that are part of a full deck of Starfleet Battle Force. But given that, you have to have this set number of cards. The whole idea being is that you can limit the dilution, but force it to actually exist. Force that there is some dilution. There's a possibility that there's going to be times when you will not have weapons to fire. Or, you know, you will not have a defense at all. Now, obviously, the original idea of, that's the whole idea of the, actually, no, reserve cards. Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole idea of reserve cards. Is that you sock away some good cards that you can possibly use at a later time. But BST, I like the idea of the whole idea of making Starfleet Battle Force a deck building type game. Or sorry, not even deck, well, it's deck building. It's more like deck designing type game where you have, you can create your ships. In that case, actually, you could, in theory, either have a single empire decks, and that actually could work in that case, because of, then you can say, okay, you can, that makes it so that there's only so many weapons cards that you have, because normally there's only so many weapons cards in the whole deck. But that would require that, you know, a person, in theory, obviously if they're playing the Orions, they can actually have a lot more weapons cards. Which case, if you want to, one thing you could do is to make sure that the decks are even. They're fair. Say, okay, also set aside, okay, this is the number of weapons cards you can have in your deck. And not, then you can have all whatever other cards that you want. I'm not sure what you would consider if like the planet-based PFs or planet-based fighters, are those considered weapons cards or not? And you can get into details on that. But that'd be one way of actually kind of balancing it. So a person doesn't have just all of the weapons cards, because Lord knows that Orions, which have all of these weapon mounts that can fire a multi, you know, quite a selection of weapons. No, if everyone plays Orions, what's the point? You know, of having Empire-based decks. You know, but it seems, I like the idea. In my mind, I think it's a good way of going for Starfleet Battle Force. Possibly, you know, change the way the decks are now. Come on. I'm going to be realistic here just for a moment. That is, are we going to see a whole new way of building Starfleet Battle Force? Probably not, until all of the decks are currently gone. Why? Because of, one, I don't think, I actually, it might be possible to have people buy it and play this alternate form. It might be possible. I have not tried. So we'd have to try it out first before we can say, you know, okay, or at least try it out to see if it actually works or does not work. Because of, to do a switch, to create new cards, actually nice cards, requires a whole new way of ordering cards, because I think Steve Cole mentioned this, which is that they would not have the same quality. Like basically, you can't get the same kind of cards. So you could have, you have two different sets of decks, and the card stock would be different, and you don't want that. That would be almost like cheating. To a certain degree, you know, where, you know, have you guys ever, well, I'm not sure if you've ever seen it before, but the whole Magic card decks, I used to buy these, Did I buy them? I used to get them when I was a kid. And there's these special decks. They're called magical card decks. And what they were is that each card had a unique back to it. So that if you could see the back, you could tell what card a person had. So instead of having, have to do some other harder trick, somebody just say, what card is this? And you could look at the back, and then you'd say, oh, that is the Ace of Spades, because of the it had these patterns, these circles, and depending upon where it was in that circle, what dot was actually filled in on that circle, this little pattern, it would tell you what actual the card was, which I thought was kind of an interesting idea. Of course, you would never ever play card games with these decks, because if you did, they would probably beat the snot out of you. Assuming that they just beat you up and not do something worse. But anyhow, I said basically I liked the idea. I truly, truly do. And definitely, I think it's a neat way to go, especially if we could work on that a little more, work out some of the details, and see if it actually could work. Because if it can work, heck, that might be actually a way of having ADB give ADB the ability to sell more cards. And see, the great thing about that would be that you could actually create, if each person played with their own deck. The great part about that is that you can actually create new cards with different card stock. And you would be fine, because you wouldn't be mixing the two. Everyone have their own deck. So actually that would work out quite well. And definitely something that should be, I think, play tested out before bringing up the Steam. If it play tests well, maybe not perfect, but at least play test well enough, approach Steve Cole about, an alternate rule or that could be sold, or an alternate set of rules that could be sold with Starfleet Battle Force could be this. And maybe enough people play it and get really excited about this different way of using these beautiful, these cards are beautiful. As, what was it? Again, some of the designer notes. Oh, where is it? Right there. Yeah, there it is. The people like Ted, I think Geibel, and there's another designer. Oh, of course, Dale McKee and Aaron Hendricks. Yeah. Those are the people that I mentioned that did a lot of artwork for those cards. Right. Well, Dave, I can read, you guys can't. Shocker. If you're just listening to this, that is basically saying there's a bit of an advantage of knowing it is a new card or an old one coming through next, thinking that about new card backs. Yes, that is why the whole idea of creating playing Starfleet Battle Force in more of an individual deck form would definitely work better, especially because you could sell them and you actually could sell new decks with the new cards, and you wouldn't have to worry about the whole idea of mixing them at all. And obviously if people try to play with mixed decks, they might have problems. Now, if you try to do more of a collectible card game where you actually can build up your decks, you can buy multiple copies of all the decks. Then, and put together a set yourself, you know, then that might be interesting. Right. No, not at the moment, but BMO, sorry. I gotta remember that, sorry. BMO has mentioned that, so everyone would have their own deck. Yeah, that's, so they build a racial stack. They could, now, that is a possibility. They are allowed 30 cards with a limit on weapon cards. And mention anything else? I'm not thinking at the moment that comes to mind. But it wouldn't be required to build a same empire stack. Well, sorry, back up. You wouldn't be required to play ships that are all part of the same empire. But the thing is, if you actually had these individual decks, that everyone had their own decks, then you actually could have a viable single empire play, in my mind. So I think that would be a great idea. Now, as I mentioned, you know, you wouldn't be required to have a single empire set of ships. But, you know, making it so that you have individual decks, that actually makes it more viable to play. Now, that's one of those alternate rules. And actually, that's the alternate way of system of play. That's actually rewriting a totally different set of rules that we could do. Now, I like the idea. Obviously, it's one thing that actually I would love to create the rules and then play it, do some play tests to see how well it works. To have actual individual decks that are built by players. Now, as I said, as we mentioned, BMRL, that's the whole idea of limiting the number of weapons cards would be a good thing because you want it to be balanced. You know, weapons cards versus pure action cards, that kind of thing. You know, I think would be a good idea. That was it. One of the more, if you want to tone it back just a bit, and you still use the same basic rules for Starfleet Battle Force. One thing you could do, you know, where you actually have a shared deck. One thing I was thinking about that would be, might be interesting to at least look into, would be the possibility of having more of a fleet game. Meaning, with a fleet game, you actually have multiple ships that can fire upon a single ship. You know, because currently that's not allowed in the rules. But in my mind, that is the way. If you've ever played Starfleet Battles at all, that is the way you played. You wouldn't have. Oh, you know, okay, I want my cruiser firing on his frigate, and oh, my frigate, that's going to fire on that cruiser over there, and that frigate there, that one's going to fire on that destroyer. No. You say, okay, I want my cruiser, my frigate, and my two frigates, they're all going to fire on that one cruiser and kill it. Agreed, BM. Or all the BM mentioned that you have to reprint all the cards, your cards, in the new stock to protect yours. Yeah, but getting back to that, the whole idea of private decks, personal decks. That you would be using, that would be fine. obviously, the tough part about it, it would be when you play down the cards. And so, well, actually, if you play down the cards, that's fine with the actions and the weapons. Because the only time a card is collected by another player is the actual ships. That's when they actually collect them. In this case, that's fine. You have a, you know, everyone agrees together. We have this one single deck where we're going to be using the ships from that deck, from those decks. From that deck, or if you want to, grab a couple decks and say, okay, these two decks, well, they're going to use all the ships from those two decks. You know? Because I'm not saying that each player would have their own set of ships. That, because then you have the whole problem with mixed shipping, you know, mixed cards at that point, and you don't want to do that. You know, you're trying to avoid that. Getting back to the original thought, which was flying more like fleets. You know, obviously some of it is already there. You've already got the whole idea of a screen, the whole idea of main body, where you actually, that's kind of in that whole idea of a fleet. But as I mentioned, I think having the ability to have multiple ships fire upon using their weapons, their array, their weapons to fire on a single ship, I think is a better idea. It's a good idea. You know, it's overall makes it more realistic when it comes to fleet battles. You know, more realistic for starships flying around firing on each other. Yeah, I'm sure people picked up on my sarcasm on that. But obviously, as I mentioned before about the partners. Option rules, modifying that some. The whole idea of, in my mind, is that if you have partners, that's fine. Damn, Earl, apologizing for derailing my other idea. But with partners, to me, what's the reason of a partner? It's not just that. Okay, you can actually. My discard can go into your reserved. That's a helpful thing. But in my mind, the whole idea, you have partners. The whole idea is almost kind of a combined fleet to a certain degree. In that you provide mutual protection. Now, obviously, there can be a big issue with that, meaning that with partners, there's a good possibility. I have to look at the numbers when it comes to the percentage of different cards, but there's a good possibility that it's gonna make it harder to actually kill ships, which again, if you combine actually the idea of playing with partners and the idea of fleet, fleet action proposal. I think those two together would go quite well, because then the added defense then offsets the added offense. So I think in that case, I think it actually could work out quite well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I think these are some really good ideas and something to be brought up. And actually, it's one thing that I'll admit it. I didn't actually go looking at the Starfleet Battle Force topics on the discussion board or on the I forgot what the FedCom forum calls them. I think it might be Threads. Let's just call them Threads. But in either case, I have not actually looked through them to see, okay, what are the possible discussions? Have some of these possible alternate rules, have that been brought up? Possibly, possibly not. I have not actually checked. Which is, and I apologize, I just realized that I probably should have done that, because that could have gave us even better ideas to talk about this evening. I think Starly Battle Force can be a really, really fun game. I think it's definitely one of those games that the more the merrier. I truly believe that it's a game that two players can play it. It can actually be kind of boring. But when you start getting into the larger number of players, where you actually can have diplomacy taking effect, where you can possibly use some alternate rules like we mentioned this evening, when it comes to the using fleet actions against a single ship, where you actually have these partnerships, possibly even dynamic. You know, as part of diplomacy, that, you know, I'm going to agree to having a pact, you know, a mutual defense pact, where, okay, I'll help you, you help me, and we're good. And of course, in that case, you can do that. Now, obviously, if you think about it, it kind of reminds me almost along the lines of Munchkin. Because Munchkin, they have the same kind of thing where you actually, most of the time you don't help the people. Though you can make deals to have them help you out. It's like, oh, if you help me out, I'll get the level, but you get all the treasure. Which is always awesome. And that's fine early on, and later on it's like, no. If you get another level, you'll be one level away from being level 10, in which case the game's over and you win. So, you know, hopefully we'll put these out there and see what kind of response we get. So I think with that, we will wrap up for this evening. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, chat room, and of course a pleasure talking about Starfleet Battle Force and some of the alternate rules that both the optional rules that already exist and some of the ideas that we have about almost in some cases totally revamping the rules for Starfleet Battle Force to have it so that it actually is a single deck build. It's more of a deck building game than it is of a combat card game. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.